Chinese, but we're going to continue this morning in chapter. So you can look up here, or you can grab your Bibles if you want to. We're in chapters 20, a little bit 23, 24, 25, 26 of Acts. So Paul is standing trial before the rulers, Ananias, the Sanhedrin, the mob, who have assumed his guilt without trial. They would happily see him dead by legal means or illegal means. He has been rescued by the commander Claudius Lysias or Lysias. You can say his name either way. He's been transferred to Caesarea, the beautiful seaside city where the big palace of Herod was built, and it's where most of the leaders live now. And Paul is transferred there. He's living in the palace, but he's in the prison of the palace, by the way. And he's going to stand trial there. He's going to stand in front of Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. So just a reminder of where we are. And I want to remind you of one other thing as we look at it. I'll come back to this morning in just a little bit. But the title this morning is, What is Your Legacy? Okay? And we're going to look at these chapters and see what the legacy was of these people we're talking about. And then we're going to talk about the legacy that we have also. So, but we'll get to there. I'll come back to that. But I want to remind you, as we come into this morning and we think about Felix, Festus, Agrippa, and Paul standing before them, Jesus spoke with his disciples before he returned to heaven. And this is what he said. He said, "Be on your guard. They will hand you over to Sanhedrins. You will be flogged in the synagogues." Doesn't this sound familiar? "You will stand before governors and kings because of me as a witness to them." So this is what Jesus says to the 12. We've already seen some of this, haven't we, in the life of Paul. Jesus himself said, "You will stand before governors." He has already stood before governors, and he is standing now before governors. And you will stand before kings as a witness to them. Not because you're bad, not because you've been wrong, but as a witness to them. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. You and I, with our hard hearts, sometimes wouldn't mind if our enemies perished or at least were punished. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, even to ungodly kings and governors that sit on thrones and deal unfairly. God wants, Jesus died for them as well. So Jesus gives this warning, and then here is another verse for you that's so encouraging. So when they arrest you and hand you over, don't worry beforehand what you will say. How many of you have worried beforehand about what you will say, right? You know trouble's coming, you know something's going to happen. Oh God, oh God, oh God, and you do all you can to prepare. And you know what God says? Yes, we should be prepared. Paul was the most learned man that we read about in the New Testament. But the words of Jesus are, don't worry beforehand what you will say. On the contrary, whatever is given to you in that hour, say it. For it isn't you speaking, but it's the Holy Spirit. That takes so much pressure off of us, doesn't it? It reassures us so much. God has a plan. He knows what you face, and he's ready. He's got the provision in his pocket for that moment that catches you by surprise. Hasn't caught God by surprise. And if you will pause in those moments, if you will wait in those moments, if you will even whisper, "Oh, Jesus, help me," his help will be available to you in the time of need, and he will give you what to say. He will show you which way to go. So this was Jesus to his 12 disciples. And then in Acts 9:15, this is specifically to Paul. "Go, for this man, Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and the sons of Israel." And that's what we're looking at in these three chapters. It's a confirmation of what Jesus has said. Because remember, the Lord appeared to Paul as well. And Paul, most Bible teachers believe, so Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord and fell away. Most Bible teachers really believe that the one that took his place was not Matthias that the 11 chose in the upper room, but was Paul, to whom Jesus appeared on the road to Damascus and said, "You." And in the early church, one of the requirements for being an apostle was, you must have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul fits that, doesn't he? Because Jesus appeared to him. And so Jesus gives the word, and then he speaks specifically to Paul. Aren't you encouraged? We think we're looking at history, but aren't you encouraged this morning that in these trying and stretching circumstances, God already knows and God already has a plan for you and for your life as well? God has prepared. God has a word for them, and God has a word for you as well. So, amen. So, let's pick up. Anyhow, I'm encouraged. I hope you're encouraged too. So, let's pick up where we left off last week. Paul is standing. Where was he standing? Don't look at your Bibles. Who was he standing before? Which ruler? Which one? Felix. Do you know how to remember? How many of you would admit I get the names all mixed up? Yeah? L comes before S. So Felix, then Festus. You know your alphabet, right? Here you. I'm sorry if you don't know your alphabet. I can't help you. But I can help you with L and S. So Felix, and then S, Festus, and then Agrippa's at the end. And his name is different, so it's easier to remember. So we have left Paul standing in front of Felix. So let's look at that. And we're going to dig into these names a little bit. And I think we're going to see some things that you haven't thought about before. So a few days later, we read this last week, Felix came back with his wife. Who's Felix? The governor. Who is another governor that you've heard of before? Pilate. Okay, exactly the same position. And I want you to think about this. Paul stands before Felix and he defends himself. Is Paul guilty or innocent? Innocent. Does Felix know that Paul is innocent? Yes. Does Felix, the governor, release Paul? No. Go back some years to the other governor. What was his name? Pilate. Who stands before Pilate? Another innocent man. What was his name? Jesus. Does Pilate know that Jesus is innocent? Yes, he does. Does Pilate release Jesus? No, he does not. We're talking about legacy this morning. I think it's not coincidence that these governors, Paul stands before them, and they know that this man is innocent as he stands, yet they do not release him because they want to do a favor to the Jews. What does Pilate? Exactly the same thing. He knows Jesus is innocent, but he wants to what? Do a favor to the Jews. And so we have this legacy from the governors as well. So Felix comes back with his wife Drusilla. Felix is 100% Roman. Drusilla, his wife, is Jewish. Some mixed ancestry, but Jewish. Okay, so, and it says that Drusilla, who was Jewish. We're going to find out a little bit more about Drusilla today. Sending for Paul, they listened as he told them about faith in Christ Jesus. Notice that Paul does not talk about his innocence. Paul does not talk about the trial. Paul does not talk about, they accused me falsely. What does Paul talk about? He talks about Jesus. If you and I would have in our hearts and in our mouths the desire, God, let me talk about you more than I talk about me. Let me defend you more than I defend me. God would do more through us. God would be able to reach more people. And so Paul stands before him, and he's telling them about faith in Christ. Now, do they respond, and how do they respond? This is where we left it last week. As Paul reasoned with them about righteousness, look at the three things, righteousness, self-control, and the coming day of judgment, Felix became frightened. Go away for now, he replied. When it's more convenient, I'll call for you again. It is no surprise that Felix is frightened. Why? He knows that Paul is speaking the truth. That's the thing. He knows Paul isn't crazy. He knows that Paul isn't lying. He knows that Paul is speaking the truth. And what does Paul speak of? Righteousness. Who is absolutely unrighteous? Felix is. Remember, we talked about this. Felix had seduced Drusilla with the help of a sorcerer, Simon the magician. Remember that? We talked about that. Felix had been married. Drusilla had also been married. And then they married each other. And I mentioned this last time. Felix, according to Roman historical records, was a horrible leader. He was vicious. He was immoral. He was unfair. In fact, we'll talk about this a little bit later. At the end of this time, his reign, his leadership as governor is so bad that the people complain. Felix is recalled to Rome by the emperor Nero. I mean, it's Nero. How awful was Nero? He wasn't so bad in the beginning, but he got really bad. And he was so bad that Nero condemned Felix to death. That's how bad Felix was. And Felix was only saved by somebody pulling some strings. So this tells us about Felix's life. No wonder he's afraid when Paul talks about righteousness. No wonder Felix is afraid when he talks about self-control. Felix had no self-control. He saw Drusilla, and he wanted her, and he got her. And about judgment, why? Felix sits on this, it's not a throne, but a seat of power, and Felix does exactly what he wants to do. He doesn't follow Roman laws. He doesn't follow Roman rules. He doesn't follow things of decency. What does he do? He does what he wants to do. I am a law unto myself. I have the power. I will do what I want to do. And he did what he wanted to do. And what does Paul speak to him? Paul speaks to him that there is coming judgment. What does that tell Felix? And what does that tell us? I'm not the boss. I'm not the one who makes the rules. I'm not the final judge. We live in a world where people say, don't tell me what to do. Don't judge me. I'm going to live my life. Yes, we can live our lives. People have the choice. We have the choice, young or old. You have the choice to make choices. You may live as you want, but at the end of this path, at the end of this road, you are not the final judge of your actions. You are not the final judge of your life. There is a righteous judge, and he makes the final judgment. No wonder Felix was afraid. You mean I'm not the final word? Do you mean I'll have to give account for the way I've lived and for the way I've ruled and for the way I have my own life? Yes. And brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to make anyone afraid this morning, but I am reminding you. By the way, Lighthouse will never be a church where we speak from the front and preach from the front things that just make us feel good and warm and fuzzy. I want you to feel good. I want you to feel warm. I want you to feel fuzzy, but only if it's the truth that's in God's word. We want to be ready for the judgment that one day comes. We want to live righteously now. We want to have the fruit and the working of self-control in our lives, because out of that comes joy and happiness and contentment. We live in a world that says, don't give me rules, don't give me laws, and people are breaking through boundaries and guidelines. I'm going to live the way that I want to live. I'm going to be what I want to be, and they feel that will make me happy. No. The end of that road is sadness and bondage, not freedom. Not freedom. And so Paul stands in front of Felix, not trying to make him feel bad, but trying to save him. Trying to save him. And may I say to you, if sometimes you hear the word of God, and I don't want to be, I never want to be hard to be hard. No. But there are times when the truth of God's word, it hurts, it touches, because why? I'm not living as I should be living. The Holy Spirit in me is grieved. And when those times come, and there's fear, let it be godly fear. Let it drive you to God. Let it drive you to make a change in your life. God, the righteous judge, wants Felix to repent, not just to be frightened, not just to see his broken life for what it is, but to turn to the only one who can make him righteous, to produce in him the fruit of self-control, not to receive judgment, but to receive grace, because Jesus took our judgment. Amen? And we want this for our lives. And God is still working the same way today. When the Holy Spirit makes us uncomfortable with truth, He wants to do something in our lives, and he wants us to do something about it. So when you hear truth, when things come to you, it may be in a song that we have sung this morning. It may be in the words of a godly Christian friend or a husband or a wife, or it may be coming from the pulpit. When you hear things that make you uncomfortable in your spirit, oh, Lord, and conviction, do something about it. Do something about it. Don't wait. Don't wait. Because what happens? Felix is uncomfortable, and what does he do? He gets rid of the discomfort by saying, go away, go away, go away. Come back later. But as far as we know, Felix never changed. His heart never changed. He would listen to Paul often. He would call him. The next verse is so sad. He also hoped that Paul would bribe him. Duh. Here's Paul preaching about righteousness and judgment and self-control, and Felix is hoping for a bribe. That shows us the deception of sin, right? He thinks Paul's going to bribe him. Paul can call on the name of God, the God of heaven and earth and all the universe, and be free if he wants to get out of prison. But Paul is preaching righteousness and judgment. He's not going to give a bribe. That tells us something about Paul's, probably his background, that probably it was a prominent family. And Felix, I'm sure, knows this guy, Paul, he brought a huge offering to Jerusalem. He must be rich. But no bribe ever comes. Now, here's one of the saddest sentences in this whole episode. After 2 years went by this way. In what way? In what way? Paul, come talk. Call Paul in. I want to talk with him. And Paul comes in to talk. 2 years passed this way. Was there ever a change in Felix's heart? No. Was there ever a change in Drusilla's heart? No. 2 years passed this way. I want to ask you something, brothers and sisters. Forget Felix and Drusilla for just a minute. How much time has passed in your life where the Holy Spirit has been talking to you about getting some things right, getting some things clear, and you haven't done it yet? Learn a lesson from Felix. Learn a lesson from Felix. And if there's some things you need to get straight, get them straight. Don't wait. I've told you the story before about the man that lived in the U.S., that lived behind the church where we were. And he and his wife both, but he especially, they were really ungodly. And his niece was the secretary of the church where mom and dad were pastoring. The niece was the secretary. She prayed and prayed and prayed for him and for his wife. And in the family, extended family, there were probably three missionary families. But he was so ungodly. I mean, really, really ungodly. And the nephew and his family had been, missionaries in Senegal for quite a few years. And when they heard that this man he was older and he had gone to the doctor, he wasn't feeling well, and the doctor had said, you have cancer and it is inoperable, and chemo and neither chemo nor radiation will help, your days are numbered. And when the family heard that, the nephew who had been the missionary went to his door and knocked on the door and said, Uncle, and called his name, let me talk to you about Jesus. And he stood there. Do you know who his nephew was? I've told you about his nephew before. His nephew was the one that stretched out in the front of the church and fell asleep that time. Remember the tall that I've told you about? That was his nephew. And when his nephew, Brother Jack, said, Uncle, let me talk with you about Jesus, he looked at him and he said, you can come talk to me about Jesus when I'm on my deathbed in my last breath, but don't waste my time now. And he slammed the door on Brother Jack's face. But he never opened the door to Jesus. He never opened the door to Jesus. His heart never softened. He never said, yes, come tell me about Jesus before he died. And to my knowledge, the Lord knows, but to my knowledge, today and for all eternity, he's in hell and not in heaven. I don't say that to manipulate or to scare, but I say that to say, take care of spiritual business in your life. Don't let it build up. Don't let it build up. Because if it builds up long enough, our hearts just get hard, right? Is that not true? Our hearts get hard and then we're not going to take care of it. Take care of spiritual business in your life. Don't have unfinished spiritual business in your life. Amen. Amen. So Festus, 2 years passed by this way. Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And because Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jewish people, he left Paul in prison. Okay, so here is Paul still in prison. So Festus comes in. What a sad summary of two wasted years. By the way, not in the Bible, but this for those of you that love history, they moved back to Rome. They had Drusilla and Felix had one son. It was named after him. And Drusilla and the son were in Pompeii when the volcano Vesuvius erupted. It's in Roman historical records, and they died in the eruption of Vesuvius in Pompeii some years later. And after that, Felix died of TB, as far as they know, tuberculosis in Rome some years after that, never turning to the Lord, as far as we know. So Festus comes in, and now he's in charge. So we're talking about legacies, right? A legacy is something that a legacy can be, in worldly terms, a legacy can be money or property that's given to you by somebody that has passed on. How many of you have received some sort of legacy before? Yeah, some of you have. But a legacy can also be things that are part of your life that have come from those who came before you. So here comes Festus, and you know what his legacy is? Paul. Paul is his legacy. Felix didn't take care of it. He left Paul in prison, and now Festus has to take care of it. Okay, let's talk about Hong Kong politics carefully for just a minute. Okay, very carefully. We've had one chief executive go out of office, and we've had a new chief executive come into office in the last 10 days, right? What happened when the old one left and the new one came in? Wow, I've been reading South China Morning Post, and there are so many meetings, and there's so many, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, right? All of these things. We're going to plan this, and we're going to plan that. Okay, now we're going to take care of this. We're going to take care of housing. We're going to take care of, Lord, take care of quarantine. Lord, take care of quarantine. So this is standard practice. Okay, did I offend, or did I make anybody nervous just now by what I said? Okay, we're okay. So there's a change of leadership. Same thing with Felix and Festus. So Festus comes in. He starts taking care of business. So he comes in, and he immediately goes down to Jerusalem. Why? The leaders are in Jerusalem. So he wants to make sure everything is okay. What happens while Festus is in Jerusalem? While he's in Jerusalem, all of the Jewish leaders say, there's that man, Paul. Bring him to us and let him be tried before us. What are they going to do? They're going to kill him on the way. They're going to ambush him. Wicked, wicked, wicked people, right? Sometimes our enemies don't change, but our God doesn't change either. And so they say, bring Paul to Jerusalem so we can try him. But Festus says, no, you come to Caesarea and we will try him there. And so Felix returns to Caesarea. Let's look at it. About 8 or 10 days later, Festus returned to Caesarea. On the following day, he took his seat in court and ordered that Paul be brought in. And that's why I gave you the example of Hong Kong politics. He's not messing around, is he? It's like, okay, this is business that's not been taken care of. Let's take care of business. He brings Paul in. He took his seat in court, ordered that Paul be brought in. When Paul arrived, the Jewish leaders from Jerusalem gathered around and made many serious accusations that they couldn't prove. Why? Because Paul was innocent, right? So they can't prove the accusations, and Paul denies the charges. I'm not guilty of any crimes. And then, so Festus, fair enough, he's not guilty. They can't prove it. And so Festus says he wants to please the Jews because they're troublemakers, right? So Festus says, well, are you willing? Will you go to Jerusalem and stand trial there? Paul knows at this point, I will not receive justice from Festus either, right? He already knows Felix didn't give me justice. Now he knows Festus is not going to give me justice either. I know the Jews won't. And so what does he say? He says, I appeal to Caesar. If I'm guilty, kill me. That's pretty brave. If I'm guilty, kill me. But if I'm not, you can't kill me. I appeal to Caesar, because he was a Roman citizen. And Festus, he talks with his advisors. He says, okay, you've appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go. I'm sure Festus was pretty happy, because what am I going to do with this guy, Paul? If I release him, I'm going to get in trouble because the Jews are going to kill him, and then he's a Roman citizen. If I don't release him, I'm guilty because he's innocent. What am I going to do? Paul says, I appeal to Caesar. Whew, great. You're going to Caesar, buddy. It really is that simple. It really is. But I want to encourage you in the midst of this. We read this morning. I want to, in this context, I want to read this verse and remind you again. It's from Psalm 138:8. As you look at this, think of Paul. Here he is. He's been accused. He has stood how many trials? He's been innocent every time, but he has not been acquitted, and he's not been released. He is powerless, and he's in prison. So I want to ask you something this morning. How many of you are in circumstances right now that really are beyond your control? Yes? You feel like, I can't get out of what I'm in. I can't change what I'm in. It might be finances. It might be health related. It might be marriage related, because those things happen as well. That's part of it. It might be any one of these areas, and you feel like, I'm a pawn. I can't make any changes. I can't change anyone. I can barely change myself. And you are trapped. You're caught. This is the way it is. Learn a lesson from Paul this morning and look at these verses. What does it say? The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Remember what Jesus said to Paul in the middle of the night? Take courage, Paul. You've stood for me here. You will stand for me in Rome. And it is in our nighttime that the Lord comes to us and he says, my hand is on your life. I'm going to fulfill my purpose in your life. Now, the things that we want done, God may not do. But if it is God's purpose for your life, he will accomplish it. The devil is not able to block God's purpose for your life if you are in God's hands. Did you hear that? The devil is not powerful enough to overthrow if it is God's plan in your life. You submit to the Lord, you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and the devil will what? You resist him, and what will he do? He will flee. So here's Paul. He's in prison, but he's in God's hands. And he knows that God is going to work out his plan. Learn from that this morning. If you need an encouragement, be encouraged. You may feel totally a pawn, P-A-W-N. You may feel a pawn this morning. You may feel totally out of control, but you're in God's hands, and he will fulfill his purposes and plans for your life in the same way that he does for Paul. Amen? Now, here's Festus. What happens to him? The rule of Festus is very short, and we don't really learn a lot more about him. Festus was a good ruler. Festus was a good leader. He was generally just and fair. But as far as we know, he died in office. And he only kept Paul a very, very short time because Paul has said, I appeal to Caesar. So he's going to get sent on to Rome very quickly. But he's still on the scene. So what happens next? Look with me. A few days later, King Agrippa arrived with his sister. Ding, 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 ding. Remember the verses we've been reading? Jesus said to Paul and to the disciples, you will stand before kings and speak of me. Here we go. King Agrippa arrives. And let's see what happens. With his sister, Bernice. Now, those of you that are sticklers for history, her name was actually Berenike. And those of you that wear the shoe brand Nike, that's where it comes from, N-I-K-E, her name, Berenike, but we say Bernice in English, okay? So, brother and sister, they arrive. Why is Bernice here? Why was Drusilla there? Kind of unusual. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. So they arrived to pay their respects to Festus. During their stay of several days, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. "There's a prisoner," he said. He told him, "whose case was left for me by Felix." And he talks about it, and Agrippa says, "Huh, I'd like to hear this man myself." And Festus replied, "You will, tomorrow." Done. Okay? And so this sets up the scene for what happens next. And here we're going to get into legacy. So I want to ask you something this morning. Who is Agrippa? You say, "I don't know and I don't care." You stay with me. You will care. It's important to what we're looking at, what we're learning from the Bible this morning. So who is this Agrippa and who is Bernice? They're brothers and sisters. So now we're going to talk about legacy. We're going to get into talking more about legacy. So Felix and Festus were legally responsible. Agrippa is merely curious. He's not responsible in any way. But Agrippa has a Jewish background. Do you want to know what his name really was? Not his really was, what his full name was? Agrippa's full name was Herod Agrippa II. Now that should make you go, "Oh, Agrippa is part of Herod." That's right. Agrippa's part of Herod. And we learn more about legacy is here. And who and why is Bernice? She has nothing to do with Paul's case. Why is she in this story? So now let's back up. They're seated in Caesarea in this great palace. Here's Festus, and Agrippa comes to visit with his sister Bernice, who built the palace that they're seated in. You say, "I don't remember. You told me 2 weeks ago, I don't remember." I'll tell you right now. Herod the Great. Aha, another Herod. Which Herod? The Great. Which Herod is this? The wise men came from the east and they said, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? Because we have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard that, he was frightened. Why? Because he wasn't a genuine king. He'd been made king by the Romans. He had a little bit of Jewish blood, but not a lot. And he knew there's another one who's the legitimate king. Even today, in this world, on seats and thrones and powers, there are illegitimate kings and powers in this world. But one day, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one who redeemed all of mankind will be the righteous ruler. Jesus is his name. And he will rule with justice and he will rule in love and in mercy and completely fairly. And he will sit on the throne one day. But Herod the Great said, "There's another king," and he killed the babies, trying to kill baby Jesus. That was the first Herod. Who was the second Herod? His nephew came to power, and his name was Herod Antipas. He was Herod the Great's son, and he takes his place. And then he goes to Rome, and he sees a beautiful woman, and her name is Herodias. The problem is she's married to someone else. And that someone else is his brother. But he sees her, he wants her. She sees him, and she wants him. And they divorce, and they marry. And they move to Jerusalem. And there's a righteous and holy man who says, "It doesn't matter if you're the ruler. What you have done is wrong. What you have done is ungodly." What was his name? John the Baptist. For Herod had sent soldiers to arrest and imprison John as a favor to his wife, Herodias. She had been his brother Philip's wife, but Herod had married her. And John had been telling Herod, "It is against God's law for you to marry your brother's wife." So Herodias bore a grudge against John, wanting to kill him. But without Herod's approval, she was powerless, for Herod respected John, and knowing that he was a good and holy man. Does this sound familiar to you right now? It should. He protected him. Herod was greatly disturbed whenever he talked with John, but even so, he liked to listen to him. Doesn't that sound familiar right now? He was disturbed, but he wanted to hear. But what happens to John the Baptist? He cuts off his head. And then, a short time after that, another righteous and holy man stands in front of Herod Antipas. What is his name? Jesus. Same Herod. And Jesus stands in front of him. Herod was delighted at the opportunity to see Jesus because he'd heard about him. He'd been hoping for a long time. Perform a miracle. What an ungodly legacy. What a wicked legacy passed from Herod the Great to his son, Herod Antipas. And then time goes on, and what happens next? Another Herod comes to the throne. What is his name? Herod Agrippa. Who is this Herod Agrippa? This Herod Agrippa comes to the comes to Jerusalem, and what does he do? Need a reminder? Here you go. King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church, and he had the apostles James killed with a sword. And when Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. It's this one. What happens to him? He's eaten by worms. Remember that one? So here we have these three: Herod the Great, Herod Antipas, Herod Agrippa. And before he dies, Herod has three children. Who are his children? Ready? Bernice, Herod Agrippa, the present Herod Agrippa, who says, "Hey, I want to hear this Paul." And Festus says, "Tomorrow you'll hear him." This Herod Agrippa. Talk about a legacy. Talk about a legacy. And one more. Do you know who the other one is? Did you know that? Drusilla. Drusilla. So here are three of the children. So here, as we look at this and we come to the close this morning, as we think about legacy, I want us to see something. And I want us to think about our own legacy. What is your legacy? Some of you may have a legacy as wicked, probably not, but you may have a legacy that is very ungodly. You may have one that is just as wicked as what you see here. But what I want us to see is this: God is nevertheless merciful. Herod the Great had a chance to find the true king, Jesus. Herod Antipas had John the Baptist and Jesus standing in front of him. Herod Agrippa had James, the godly James, standing in front of him. And Herod Agrippa II, Bernice, and Drusilla all have the mighty evangelist Paul to talk about Jesus, to talk about Jesus. There's always hope. There's always chance. There's always the opportunity for change. And so what I want to say to you this morning is, it doesn't matter if you have an ungodly heritage. It doesn't matter if you have a difficult legacy. I don't care if there is alcoholism in your family. I don't care if there is drug abuse in your family. I don't care if there is witchcraft in your family, or incest, or pornography, or any one of these things that have come down to you in your legacy. What does the Bible say? If anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. There's freedom in the Lord this morning. There's freedom in the Lord. And some of you just, you have been bound and you are in chains and you think, I can't, but this is what I've inherited. This is what is in, this is how it is. My family is like this. My family has a temper and that's just the way it is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit lives in you, He can change what you have received in your legacy, and He can give you something new so that your legacy that goes on to others, to family, to friends, to children, is a godly legacy. Everywhere on this line, there could have been a change. And you are wondering, oh, why is Pastor Jennifer spending so much time talking about all the Herods? Because, does that make sense to you? Because at any point here, every single one of these wicked, wicked, wicked people, and you say, well, you can't blame them. You can't blame them because, you know, that's just what they inherited. God gave everyone a chance. God gives everyone a chance. Paul stands in front of Agrippa and Bernice. Now you say, you're going to talk about those two? Yes, as we close this morning. Do you know why? What was their relationship, Agrippa and Bernice? What were they? Brothers and sisters, right? So Bernice, Agrippa, Drusilla, brothers and sisters. Bernice and Agrippa had another relationship, an open scandal, an open secret that shocked even Rome, as wicked and as lawless and immoral as Rome was. Agrippa and Bernice, brother and sister, were lovers in an incestuous relationship. And Paul stands before them. You mean God shows mercy to people like that? Scum of the earth. God shows mercy, just as He showed mercy to you and to me. And God wants to change our legacy. God wants to change the brokenness that we have been given, the brokenness that we have been born into, the brokenness that we think we cannot escape. Jesus Christ said, when he sat down and He opened the book of Isaiah, and He said, the Spirit of the Lord. Why the Spirit of the Lord? Because it is the Spirit that breaks, the power of the Holy Spirit, that breaks the bonds of the enemy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? To set captives free, to preach deliverance, all of these things. And every one of these ungodly, wicked people who continued to make ungodly and wicked choices and live in the legacy that they had inherited had a chance. As you and I have a chance. Whatever legacy you have received this morning that you are regretful of, that you wish, I wish my family, I wish they weren't like this. I wish there hadn't been. You don't have to live with that. There's freedom in Christ. There's freedom in Christ. Change your legacy. Jesus can do that in your life. We're going to pray right now. And I'm going to invite you, as I pray for you, if you are living with something, this is just the way it is. God gives the opportunity for that legacy to be changed. It ends here. It stops now. It goes no further. And among your friends, among your family, among your children, the legacy can be a godly legacy. A godly legacy. Paul's legacy that he would have passed on was, he was a murderer. But instead he says, oh, my true son in the faith, Timothy, a gentle, humble man who became the pastor of the churches of Ephesus. Your legacy, it can be with friends, with family, with children, with employers, with employees. Lord, we come to you this morning. God, we come before you. We thank you. What a merciful God. Lord, our minds cannot comprehend that you would show mercy and give grace to those wicked Herods, the wicked family of Herods. Lord, every one of them, you gave a chance. You gave multiple chances. And so, Lord, we come to you as well because you give us the opportunity as well in Jesus. And Lord, I pray this morning, I invite you, whatever part of a legacy in your life that you do not want, that you say, God, I don't want this to go any further, and I want its power broken in my life this morning. You just bring it and say, God, here it is. I'm hearing you speak to me this morning. Holy Spirit, I respond to you. I say yes to you, and with your help, I break and I cut off and I denounce every ungodly legacy in my life. And Lord, I declare that because of you, I have a new legacy. I am your child. And what comes out of me, the legacy that I pass on, will be one of righteousness and self-control and grace and love and peace. Lord, there will not be an ungodly legacy that passes on from me to family, friends, or to children. But oh God, it will be a godly legacy because you have changed my life and you are setting me free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your work in my life. I receive it. I accept it. I confirm with my mouth, yes, this is what I choose. This is what I want. And I will walk in the legacy that you are developing and building and growing and working out in my life from this point forward. And Lord, when the enemy comes accusing, when the enemy comes, when I have slipped or fallen, Lord, I will get up, I will repent, I will receive forgiveness, and I will not go back to any ungodliness. I will continue to walk forward in you, in the name of Jesus, the one who sets me free and gives me a new legacy. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Stand fast in the freedom in which Christ has made you free. Be not entangled again in the chains of bondage. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week. Thanks for joining us online. God bless you as well. We'll see you next week. Amen.